Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast.
Hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Starmer.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
We are here in the building of the President of Uruguay, Palacio de la Libertad, and I'm here with Rea Schmuck. She is from Colonia, tourist town here in Uruguay, and I like to talk about the link between historical cities and local economic development. Maybe first you present yourself and your academic background.
Okay. Today I work in charge of tourism in Colonia, which is one region of Uruguay, our country. I've been working there for the last 2 years. Before that, I was studying in Spain, in Universidad Complutense de Madrid, doing my PhD in tourism and development and focusing on historical cities and also local development through tourism. I started becoming interested in tourism once I worked in a hotel school in Montevideo in a training program.
It would be interesting that you explain us a little bit about the concept of historical city.
The historical cities, they started to become tourist destinations. Many of the historical cities receive a lot of visitors today, and the fact that cultural tourism is one of the tourist sectors that has been growing faster in the world because of people really become interested in knowing other places and really knowing the culture of each place. After that, sun and sea is the traditional model of or attraction for a lot of people. This process of being attracted to the cities as cultural destinations. Many cities in the world related also to World Heritage, right? Those cities that really have a historical core, that have some special values that made them being recognized by UNESCO as World Heritage, then became really attractors.
When we are talking about this UNESCO program, it was more on conservation and on buildings, and now you are talking also about on the culture and human aspect. How is this switching now?
Yes, exactly, because at the beginning, as you said, the attention was focused on the buildings. Later, once you start promote conservation and add value to those buildings, other things started to happen. And those things affected the way of life of those places. Let's say the investment in those buildings, provoking some cases, people living in the historical cities started to move to other parts of the city because houses started to really value more money. And there's another, it's like a market, real estate. Those changes also changed the way of life of those spaces.
Then probably it was a learning experience when UNESCO declared the city like a World Heritage. The prices of buildings rose, and after that, people who lived formerly in the city centers had to go out and to look for another living.
Yes, that process is very common in many historical cities. Once that happened, you realize that the value of the historical city, of that space, also changes. It's not only the building itself, but also the environment and the life that you around those buildings to really change in a way that at the end you finally question if the value was only the building or there was something else, and the sense of community and the other values. Have to say, heritage is not only material, and in that sense, today the historical cities, you must also see what the community, how the community live there, how they feel, how they feel about those buildings, also the use they give to those buildings. And so it's much better to promote the conservation of the entire historical city with its all these the values that it represents for its own people.
Well, and in the research on historical cities or world heritage, the business sector, entrepreneurs, is this an issue what people are studying on, or is it more about the culture and human aspects?
Well, both things, because the interaction between the people that live in the historical cities and the entrepreneurs is something that went together with this process that you were mentioning, that when people have to leave the historical city and go to live in other places, in many cases, those places were occupied by enterprises. At one, it's not good also to, you know, to have places with only stores and businesses, and at the end of the day, you feel that you are in a place without much life. The thing is how to combine both aspects.
Yes, you have to conserve this really historical thing, this life, this handcrafting in the city, and on the other side, you have to modernize the city. Probably let's have a look now to Colonia de Sacramento. You did research on the city, and now you're in the city government and responsible for the tourism board. There was a change now coming from academy, studying the reality, and now to be in charge of managing tourism in a historical city like Colonia.
I came to Colonia at the beginning. I was studying, as you said, and then I got in touch with a lot of people from another position, and they were really very open and explaining the things that they saw from being a resident, owner of a hotel, someone working as a guide tour, well, different people. And later on, when I came back, as in charge of the local government working in tourism, it was really helpful to know the different positions, that they were really very open to me when I came as a student. It was, as I said, very useful, and also I think they felt very well to work with someone that knew. They knew that I was interested, I have a real interest in knowing the processes they have lived and the things that for them were important.
Explain us a little bit the historical background and how is the historical city tourism attraction, Colonia Sacramento? Who's coming there? What kind of tourism you have there? And what's all the background about it?
Well, Colonia Sacramento was declared World Heritage by UNESCO in 1995. The reason for this is the architecture of the old part of the city is a testimony of, well, the colonial times when Spanish and Portuguese were fighting for these lands. It's the only city in the country and in the region founded by the Portuguese. It's a very interesting city because it's very, very strategically located in front of Buenos Aires, just crossing the River Plate, and very close to Montevideo. This means that today it's a very strategic point, and the accessibility is very, you know, it's a good condition as a tourist destination. And at the beginning, before being declared by UNESCO as World Heritage, well, the city used to receive a lot of Argentinian visitors. Their cities are very close. Buenos Aires is a very huge city, so a lot of people felt attracted to crossing the river and coming to the city. In fact, they invested a lot of money in the reconstruction of these houses. It's a very special place with a nice coast, very small core. I mean, the historical city is very small and it's charming. And these people felt attracted, and, well, the process of investing money and buying houses and reconstructing them was started much before the UNESCO declared the historical city as World Heritage. And later on, with this declaration, well, there was a process that started to go on, and some other people felt attracted to come to know the city. And in the last years, a lot of visitors come from all different parts of the world. And I mean, in the country, it's a process that is also being observed in other places, like other destinations, Montevideo, Punta del Este, Rocha. But particularly because Buenos Aires has been receiving so many visitors from Europe, from the U.S., from Canada, well, and many of them decided to cross also the River Plate and come and visit Colonia, which is the only World Heritage Site in the entire region.
You talked about a historical city of Colonia. On the other hand, now you are not only working within the city, you are also trying to link tourism with rural surrounding and also with local products.
Well, Colonia is a very rich region in the country. Besides Colonia del Sacramento, which is its capital, there are other regions, the department of Colonia, and the different places in this region respond to different process of foundation. For example, in the case of cheese, it is produced by the traditional artisanal way that was brought from Switzerland, and the wines were also introduced by German. And in this sense, I mean, it is really a place full of histories and traditions from different parts of the world. And the other thing is having different locations with different values, each of them very close also to Colonia del Sacramento. It's an opportunity to, well, invite those people to visit other places in the department, spending more time in the region, spending more money, and it's a really good opportunity for people, local people, well, offer to the tourists different options, knowing a rural establishment, knowing, well, the history of each of these locations that I'm talking, the different places. And also because at one point, Colonia in some parts of the year concentrates a lot of visitors, so we think that if we promote the other places, we are not only helping them to, you know, receive visitors, really earning, generating another, you know, economic activity, but also we are managing in a better way the movement of people, the amount of people that concentrate in some parts of, in some moments in the year, in the historical city, which is also a place that we need to really, you know, I've tried to avoid that in some places, people that come to enjoy the peaceful of the historical city and the environment, that they feel that, well, no, there are a lot of people around, I don't like this, visiting the place in this way. So we think we can really combine those things and, well, inviting and trying to really promote that those people, well, they move around the department and visit one place and visit a winery and a cheese factory, or go into another coastal cities and, well, enjoying different attractions, and in that way they will spend more time, they will really know the history and the people of the entire Colonia.
Yes, and on the other hand, the beneficiaries of the tourism movement is broader. You have also the rural people, holders of little farmers, vineyards, participating in the earnings of the tourism sector. Now you started a new policy with a new instrument. You call it a cluster policy. There is a support from the Inter-American Development Bank and from the national government to cluster initiatives in the country, and Colonia was one of the first initiatives doing so. What was the driving force to buy in, to participate in this cluster approach, and probably you can tell us some of your first experience doing this new instrument?
When we knew about the opportunity to start working with this cluster, we were already working with the private sector, the different sectors, the hotel manager, hotel owners, the restaurants, the tourist guides, transportation. But it was something, let's say, less institutionalized. And at that point, they were very I mean, they were very open to my suggestions, taking into account that they considered they were the first time for them to have a person in charge of the local government with some background in tourism. They felt that, well, there was a good opportunity to take the risk of sitting all together to talk about the issues that regarding to tourism in Colonia, but being deal with all of them together.
And it's a public-private initiative. Who's taking the lead? Who is a promoter of the initiative? It's more the private sector, the public sector, both?
At the beginning, it was the public sector. I know I had some leading role at the beginning too. We spend a lot of time trying to make for them easier to understand the methodology of the program, those processes that were not used to. Well, at the beginning we really helped them, you know, to understand, and they really participated a lot from the beginning. The last few months we started to see how they really incorporated a lot of the things that we were talking at the beginning. They understood how they really benefited from the way of working that the program is proposing. And today they are really, in some cases they are the leaders. We started to recognize that change.
Great. Push came from the public sector, from national government with this cluster approach, and with your tourism board convincing the private sector to participate. You had two experience with this cluster initiative. One was study tour or benchmarking tour, like you called in Spain, and the other is to look for another form of institutionalization of your tourism activities.
Yes, well, the benchmarking initiative responding to a suggestion of our strategic plan, which was presented last year. And when we started talking about traveling to Spain, we did in last January, at the beginning, well, we were all doubting if that was the proper moment to do that. There was not, there was another experience before. And I thought that it was a real challenge for all of us. And we finally decided that we should do this in this January, because we felt it was the moment to really, well, travel all together and to see what we have been talking and the advantages of being working together. Well, when you travel and you put some distance with your own place, it's also a good experience to see the things in a different way. And if you are also visiting other places that have some things in common with your own place, well, we decided to visit World Heritage cities in Spain, trying to see, learn, and compare how they deal with some issues that are in common to historical cities of this characteristic. Well, it was really useful, not only because we prepared the meetings in advance. We had to talk about a lot of issues among the people that were traveling. But also, after the meetings, we talk a lot about the impressions and the different points of view that we found there. And one thing that was very useful was the way that the group that traveled was conformed, because it came two people from the hotel sector, one from the restaurants, another from a guided tour, one from the real estate development, one from transportation, but also we invited to travel with us people working with the committee in charge of protecting the heritage, dealing with that issue, which is also what's very key to also invite them, because in managing the historical city, that you always have, the people working and promoting tourism, and on the other side, people concerned and working in conservation issues and protecting the place. And not always is easy to combine the work of those sectors, right?
Yeah, probably it's interesting that it was not only important to get to know good practices from other countries, also to travel together and have this common learning and this opportunity to have time together and to share and interchange experience. Well, the other project you are working on is more on institutionalization to create a tourism body. What is the motivation behind that, and where are the difficulties to do so?
Well, the motivation is that they felt that this experience is so useful that they want to make sure that it continues after the program itself is finished. And in this sense, this association is the way that we all find appropriate to make sure that this way of working, the public and the private sector together, it continues and is sustainable in the time.
Looking ahead 2 years, when the cluster promotion program will end in 2010, what will be different in Colonia? What will be the impacts and results of all this cluster effort?
In one side, I think there will be a few projects, very concrete projects, like the image of the destination that we want to work in that aspect in the next months, and also the creation of products, new products in the destination, like the wine route and the cheese route. There are some few concrete projects that will add value to the offer to tourists. And on the other side, I think this new way of working and managing the destination through the association, tourism department, and having the private and public sector working together, I think it will be difficult to go back to, I mean, in the way of you know, managing the destination. I think people, we are all really aware of the benefits of working in this way, and I think it will be successfully this association in really leading the process of working and planning in tourism for tourism department for the years to come, and I think that will be something that will continue.
Well, probably it would be an opportunity in the next years to look closer to your experience, and to hopefully you will reach your objectives and to make Colonia and the surroundings more attractive for foreign and local tourists to come. Probably at the end you can give us some internet links where we can get, or interesting people can get, information about Colonia.
Yes, it's turismoincolonia.com.
Well, thank you very much. Hope to see you soon in Colonia again, and I wish you all the best for your process of local and tourism development in Colonia. Bye-bye.